NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe. Now broadcasting from the Best Yet Studios in Boston, it's NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance, with Fourier, Wiggy, and Keefe on WEEI.
Here we go. It's NFL Sunday, week 7, as we broadcast from our Best Yet studio here in Brighton. It is Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Good morning, fellas.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. How's everybody doing today? Doing all right?
Good.
Good to hear. You guys watch any Netflix recently?
What's going on with
Netflix? There's a new show on Netflix. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I forget. I think I just watched Last Chance You.
Oh, yeah. That's on there. That's on there. And that's not alone. Because popping up on Friday is the new Paul Rudd show called Living With Yourself.
Okay, Ant-Man.
Yep, Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, plays multiple roles in this. So you may have seen the preview a while ago when it was going to come out, just multiple Paul Rudds. You're like, yeah, everybody likes Paul Rudd.
Right.
You can watch that. 8 episodes on Netflix, dropped on Friday. And there's a cameo by none other than Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
First time?
Uh-huh. You?
6.
Nice. 6 Super Bowls. Right? Get it? Do you get it? Do you guys get it? 6 Super Bowls. But this is not the first time Tom Brady's been in things, right? That's not the news.
He was in Ted 2.
Ted 2.
I believe.
He was in Entourage. Yeah. He was...
he's had some cameos.
Popped up in a few things. Well, this one got particular attention, though, because this... That's it. That's Tom Brady's line there. That's his. There's two lines in his cameo. He is walking out of a day spa.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking out of a spa.
Okay.
He sees and he looks pretty happy with himself.
He's got a huge smile on
He's got a huge smile on his face after walking out of Top Happy Spa.
Okay.
Is the name of it. Mm-hmm. And then he gets into like a big SUV or whatever and drives away. And Paul Rudd's like not sure what he wants to do. When you guys first saw that, and we'll get into what really happened and everything else. When you guys first saw that video, what did you think?
Wiggy?
I was like, man, when did they film this thing? Because this is not a good look, Tommy. That's the first thing I felt.
Right. Okay.
Please tell me this thing was filmed well before everything went down with Robert Kraft.
Fourier?
Well, I tell you what, I can just be honest. I was extremely confused.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I was confused because I didn't quite understand all the different information that was coming out, when it was filmed, then it was filmed in front of a green screen, and the director's talking, and then Brady talk. I honestly, somebody's got to unpack this for me because I have no idea. Yeah, it looks really, really bad. It looks like he's trolling Kraft, which is probably, I would bet my house that he wasn't doing that.
Right.
So... how did it, like, so what happened? I mean, Keith, you're the brains of this operation.
Yep.
Why don't you explain to all of us what happened? I'm the brains, I'm the
TV guy here.
And you're the only one who actually saw the episode.
But, yes, I saw it. I went back and watched it. I didn't watch the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe I will at some point, but I do feel like I have a decent amount of information on it now. But when we first saw it, I had the same thought you guys did. I was like, this can't be real.
Right.
I'm like, what is going on?
I thought it was a way of, like, all right, maybe he talked with him. And he said, hey, I'm going to do this thing.
But, like, what's the point? Like, you're going to be on a random Netflix show in what looks like poking fun at Robert Kraft. The first thing I thought of is, you remember everybody was like, oh, Antonio Brown should have tweeted what he tweeted. Mm. I'm like, what Brady just started was significantly worse than what Antonio Brown tweeted. But there is more of a backstory to it. But the reason I even bring this up is because Tom Brady's media availability this week was on Saturday. It's normally on Friday, but of course the game on Monday, it was yesterday. So a lot of people may have missed this, but right out of the gates, Tom Brady at his locker, he's asked about his cameo in Living With Yourself.
Well, some of these guys may want to talk about football, but I want to ask you about this video that's making the rounds on Twitter. Walking out of a massage parlor with a big grin on your face, what were you thinking?
That's not what that was about. I think that was taken out of context, just like you're taking it out of context and trying to make it a story for yourself, which has a negative connotation to it, which I don't appreciate. It was meant to be something different than that. So the fact that it's a distraction or you're bringing it up is not something I want to be talking about.
It's not just me. I mean, the USA Today, which is pretty mainstream, says Patriots QB Tom Brady spoofs Robert Kraft with a cameo at massage parlor. So, I mean, it's not just...
I think it's this type of media atmosphere that, you create You know, the blame and shame media atmosphere that's kind of percolated for a while. I think there's a lot of things that are said that are taken out of context that, you know, you choose to make a headline of as opposed to understand what it's actually about. Have you seen it?
I've seen this, and I understand the background of it. And
have you,
I
you seen
the
it?
Context. Yes, I have.
You
see that? I've seen the context.
And that's what it was about?
No, I know that it wasn't.
Okay, so it wasn't about that, except you want to try to use something and use it as, you know, to take it out of context. Is that what you choose to do in the media?
When did you shoot it? Could you not
That's
know?
What we do try to do.
If you shot it in the last year, though, wouldn't you know that it might be construed that way?
No, it was shot on a green screen. It was agreed to a year ago. It was written 4 years ago. And I think, again, it's unfortunate that, you know, people would choose to think I would ever do something like that about Mr. Kraft, or I think that's a very just a very bad assessment of my relationship with him. I would never do that.
Since it came out, have you explained that to him or gotten the word
out?
No,
I think everybody knows what our relationship's about. You know, for 20 years, it's nothing but love and respect. Been through a lot of tough things with him. And, you know, I love him dearly. I sympathize with a lot of things that he's gone through in his life. So I empathize with, you know, a lot of people that get taken advantage of and used, and understand that that's just part of what we're living in. And
so what's your point?
What it's about. Anyone else got any questions?
Yikes.
Wow.
Somebody was.
Wow. Did they just, everybody else just kind of let that guy kind of have the floor.
Let that dude take it.
Let him take it all the way.
Everybody else wanted to ask the question, but didn't want to get that response from Tom Brady, who was very sensitive about it.
Well, he's right to the extent. Tom is right to the point of, did you see what the show was about? And.
Yeah, but at that point in the show, so here we go.
See, I think that's the biggest.
Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
Can I just act like I'm the little, you know, the 6-year-old sitting on the carpet raising their hand because there's a guest speaker?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Christian Fourier.
Yes, let's go to young Christian.
Yeah. So it was written 4 years ago,
right.
Shot a year ago?
Nope. No. You noticed that he threw that in there like that was going to make a difference. It was not shot a year ago.
Agreed upon.
It was written 4 years ago. That means nothing to anybody. Like, who cares when it was written? A lot of these movies are written 10 years ago by the time they get, you know, produced and greenlit and all that other stuff. Tom Brady agreed to doing a role on this show a year ago.
Right.
But this was shot in August,
so I wonder,
after we had heard about what happened with Robert
Kraft. I wonder
Kraft.
If he was contractually obligated when they said, hey, all right, Tom, you know that thing we wrote 4 years ago and now we agreed upon it last year or a year ago. We're going to shoot it in August, okay?
Okay, all right. No, that's a no. I have one more question.
Yeah, let's see if I can answer it. Go ahead.
One more question.
Yeah.
Okay. So if it's shot in August and it's shot in front of a green screen, does he not do they just say, hey, just say six? Do they say, hey, okay, you're in front of a green. You're okay. I know there's a green screen, but imagine you're in front of something that looks like the Orchids of Asia Day Spa, similar to that.
Very similar.
And then you're going to say something really cute, and there's going to be an innuendo attached to it, like you just got something, you know, wiki out of there.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go to your car. You're going to say six. Because what's my motivation?
Well, I think the script is already, he knows what the script is.
But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they changed it a little bit just to get more attention on it. And if that's the case, I don't know why Brady is
so. What do you mean
so
change, like completely change?
Yeah,
like,
maybe it wasn't
so
a spa.
So it wasn't even a spa.
Oh, yeah, you could change. There's literally.
It's a green screen. He could have been in front of a waterfall for all we know.
Right. Well, it could have been anything, but it was just because clearly the joke, 1-6, that kind of thing. Like, that's a Tom Brady specific joke
for
him. But you don't know what it is. Now, also, when you're watching the show, at that point, Paul Rudd's character doesn't know what it is because his friend was telling him, you go to this place and it can improve your life. Rudd's just like a regular guy, but things aren't going great for him. And his buddy's like, you go to this place and it'll improve your life. He didn't even know what it meant yet. Now, it turns out it's not Orchids of Asia in there. It's something completely different. Like, it involves cloning. It's a whole other thing.
Right.
But you go in there. And at first, when you see the Tom Brady scene, it's really not completely taken out of context because at that point, I think that's what they want you to think. And you're like,
yeah, that's what they want. They want you to think
this was the case. Like, you're not filming this. So,
all right, so hold on. See, again, so none of us saw. See, None of us actually, well, I haven't seen it. You actually took the time to go and watch it.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
so you
got to
give me your
reporter.
Netflix account number.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
you're my password
so when
writer.
He goes in there, it's like Multiplicity, that old movie where he goes in, you can actually clone yourself and
well,
get more
he
stuff
doesn't,
done.
He doesn't know that yet, and he still hasn't even gone through the doors yet, so he doesn't know what's on the other side. So to him, at that point, it does resemble
but
sort
does
of just
that
a
matter,
massage.
Though?
Wink,
does,
wink.
Does that matter, Christian, when you're looking at what that little scene represents, right? We don't know. It could be cloning. Who knows? Yeah. We could go in there. It could be meditation.
Sure.
All types of stuff. But that point is irrelevant up until what we see. And what
well, it's kind of like a it's kind of like they're trying to just, you know, trip you up. You know, it's yes. a so well, after knowing what it's about, I can see how it's fine. I don't know. Like,
yeah, but I think Brady's response like almost made it sound like he kind of regrets doing it. Now he's blaming the media for asking the question. Like, so we're not going to ask the question. One of the biggest stories with the Patriots, like the franchise in the last year, was what happened with Robert Kraft, the best player in league history, obviously franchise history. Kind of spoofs it.
This
kind of spoofs it to which you say, well, it's taken out of context. It's like, yeah, yes and no.
You know what it is? Here's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Like, so people will kind of understand, regardless of what's going on, cloning or that kind of thing, it's a Saturday Night Live skit that you would do after everybody saying, after, you know, everything's water under the bridge, we're going to kind of make fun of this situation.
Do you think Robert Kraft would like to make fun of the situation?
No, I don't. Well, that's why. Yeah. That's why I said I wonder if he went to Rob and go, hey, listen, I have this script here that they want me to do.
Yeah.
And here's what the script entails. I'm gonna be coming out of something that looks like a day spa, but it's really not for the context is not for what you think, but what people are gonna perceive when they see this little when they see the clip, they're gonna have a perception of one thing, but the reality is going to be completely different. So he has to.
So then there's also conflicting reports here on Brady said they did it in front of a green screen, which you just heard in his comments there. The director said they did it in a parking lot.
But does that all.
But they still had a green screen. They did
but
it in
does
a parking
any
lot.
Of that
well,
matter?
Saying, well, it turns out they're both telling the truth because I guess it was a green screen within a parking lot. But the director also said he's quoted somewhere saying he was surprised that Brady would do it after the Kraft story.
But,
so,
does like whether it's a green screen, whether it's in a parking lot, does that all that matter? It's not like he came out of like a karate or a kung fu dojo.
No, he came out of Top Happy Spa.
Right.
So it's a little on the nose.
Does anything matter of whether there's a green screen or not?
I don't think so.
Unless he was in the script where they're like, hey Tom, we're gonna have you come out of Top Happy Kung Fu. Dojo,
which I don't know the answer to. I don't know if it was like,
and then they
it
flipped
like
it on him,
right?
Unless they did that, but then don't you think that he would then put out a statement to go, "Hey, listen, these people who did this told me it was one thing," and then changed.
I just think if anything, Brady should be either mad at the director for potentially doing a switcheroo because we don't know what the exact script said. So either the director and everybody involved in the show did a switcheroo just because they realized, hey, we have Tom Brady. We have him saying these lines.
Right.
Let's try to capitalize on this. Because more people probably tuned in over the weekend or wanted to at least see what it was all about because of this.
I thought this was
anything else.
I thought this was a trailer of something that was coming out in the future.
Yeah. No, this they had released a trailer a few months ago, and it was just a scene with Paul Rudd talking to Paul Rudd. Mm-hmm. It was one of those type of things. You're like, all right, whatever. That show could be fine. And then this came out, and everybody started talking about this yesterday.
So did this show just come out this weekend?
Came out Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, came out Friday. So, yeah, this is just out, and I bet it got a pretty big spike. But my point would be, shouldn't Tom Brady either be a little mad at himself for putting himself out there, or more mad at the people that came up with the TV show, rather than spinning it on whoever this dude was asking him the question down at Foxborough and being like, oh, you guys in the media just want to have these negative storylines. It's like, we're just asking you about you spoofing the owner, because that's what it looks like happened.
Well, I think Tom...
Well, plus it's the way it's also because of the way he says, what were you thinking?
Yeah, no,
it's almost like he was shaming him. The way the question was set up...
Good point.
it was almost like, so Brady had to go into instant defense mode because the guy's like, hey, you did this thing. Dude, what are you thinking?
Right.
It's like, that's what I would say to my kid. Dude,
good point.
Why did you do that?
And then Brady's response was, oh, wait a second. Did you even see the show?
Yeah.
You know, because now Brady's taking the defensive and saying, wait, did you even see what it was all about?
Yeah.
Before you go casting these aspersions against, hey, you're trying to make this comparison. First, and then like you said, you went and you checked it out, and it was about maybe cloning or something like that.
Yeah, but I'm still really surprised because we know how everything Brady says and even likes on Instagram is just looked at under a magnifying glass.
It's scrutinized.
Everything is, and he knows it. So he chooses his words carefully, whether he's at his locker or whether he's at a
press conference. That's why I'm wondering if they pulled the old switcheroo on him.
I wonder if
the producers and directors.
And if that's the case, yesterday would have been an opportunity to say that. Be like, listen, this is what I agreed to. This is what I thought it was. I wish they didn't do that. But instead, he's like, oh, what do you want? You want a negative storyline? You're like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just curious about
this. Well, I mean, he's kind of, it's just, I think I was thinking about him, like, it. No matter what he does, that's just, everybody's out to get him. Everybody's out to grab a soundbite.
Yeah,
everybody's out
true.
To kind of make some news for themselves. So I can easily understand how something like that, he's kind of, I guess, nervous about. I don't know. That's the way I look at it, because the question was asked in a certain way. He defended himself, and then it became just a media's out to get you, fake news, that whole thing, and then now that's the story.
The negativity.
Then he also had a weird answer at the end too, when he was talking about Kraft, and he was saying how he
can empathize with
people who try to take advantage of him.
Which he probably can. I think he's meaning like what I think what he meant by that is how. When Kraft's whole thing took place,
how the media and the
sheriff really try to capitalize.
I sympathize with a lot of things that he's gone through.
I guess.
Now, the thing that I look at in this situation is, if Kraft had never gotten to this situation, we're all sitting here laughing about this clip, right? Look how funny this is.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. If the Kraft thing never happened, you would have been laughing at that.
Well, because then it makes sense. And then even if the whole relationship between Brady coming out of this, you know, what was, you know, widely known as to what goes on in there, he comes out and it's really this multiplicity, dual personality, whatever, some sort of crazy place where you get cloned. Then it's camouflage, and it makes a little bit more sense, and then it's funny. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God, what was he going in there for?
Right.
No, dude, they build it that way to try to discourage and hide it of what it really is, right?
Yeah.
So to me, I mean, here's the thing. Yes, it does look shady. I don't care how you explain it or dress it up. There is this connection to what happened with Kraft. Hey, call it bad form. By the freaking director who used his rights as a director to kind of like
they must have been sitting there one day and be like, oh my God, like this is going, because if they had agreed to do this with Brady a year ago, but they hadn't filmed anything yet, so they're like, you know, going through the process and everything, and then they're like, wait a minute,
but you're Tom Brady,
this is going to work out pretty well.
You're Tom Brady. You get the script and it says, okay, in this scene you're going to be walking out of something that looks like a day spa. The Paul Rudd is going to say, hey, how many times, you know, looking nervous, like what's going on here? You're going to have this huge smile on your face to look like you've just came out and you're feeling good. Your energy eyes. And he's going to ask you how many times you've been here.
Yeah, first time.
You're gonna say no, six to kind of to make the relationship, because you've what, six Super Bowl championships. Does he look at that script and go, oof?
Yeah, but how does he? I mean, is this the director just using his creative license to embellish, enhance everything that he's got going on? Honestly, because if it's in front of a green screen, it could have been Billy B's dojo.
But that's what I'm saying.
It didn't have to be a day spa.
But Christian, don't you think? But don't you think he gets the script? And on the script it says we're in front of a green screen, but the images behind the green screen are gonna be a waterfall. They're gonna be Billy Joe's dojo.
The fact that the director said that he was surprised Brady would still do it leads me to believe that they must have told him that it's a spa that you're walking.
Well,
out
because
of.
The other thing
he's
is that
protect himself,
see here's
the director.
But Brady can easily sit there and look at it for what it is and not attach it to anything because he gets it. But what we do and what this reporter did is automatically say, wow, where's your compassion? This is your buddy. You've been here for 20 years, and you're sticking it to him. You're mocking him. You're trolling him.
It seems like a shot.
What kind of guy are you?
Right.
I mean, so to me,
thinking.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
But what was
I mean, that's how it started.
But
hold on, John. Play the question, just the very first question, and then.
No, you're right. He did set him off.
Yeah.
Well, some of these guys may want to talk about football, but I want to ask you about this video that's making the rounds on Twitter. Walking out of a massage parlor with a big grin on your face. What were you thinking?
Okay, that's it.
No, I mean, think about why this clown served it up. Yep.
I mean, so to me, that is.
But it's also not a football guy. That's Channel 7's Dan Housley, I think. So if he says
everything he said there, and he goes walking out of a day spa, and then just kind of ended like rather than said, "What are you thinking?" What was the purpose of that scene?
Yeah. Don't belittle him.
Right. Does that change
like an adult? Maybe.
Do you think that changes Brady's reaction? If he says, so what was the purpose of this scene?
I feel like he still would have gotten a little defensive. He wouldn't have done the whole, like, oh, that's your narrative and that's you. Like, he wouldn't have attacked that, but he would have said something about taking it out of context.
You know, I guarantee you, so when he, if let's say this came out on a Monday night,
yep.
And then Brady's talking to Greg Hill. Greg Hill would probably start it a lot differently. Like, I think I would.
For sure.
And hey, man, how'd this come about? What happened? Oh, he did this. And then let him give you all the information. And they go, man, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it really kind of paints you in a bad light.
Right.
Because they show you coming out of a day spa.
I'll tell you what, I am really interested to hear. I think he'll be on
Tuesday
with Greg Hill, because Greg's definitely going to ask him about it. And he'll ask him about it differently, but you could see how sensitive and touched off he was the first time around.
Right.
I wonder if he's going to be kind of going to shell or if he's going to explain it. Because I would be interested to know, did the script say top happy spa? Like, did you know everything that was going on? And then because one of the follow-up questions in there, they asked, like, well, did you talk to Kraft about this? And he was like, no, like, I don't have to. I'm like, I don't know. Like, if something happened to you, Wiggy, and then I did, like, a spoof on it right afterwards, I'd probably call you before it came out and be like, just so you know.
Right.
Like, you're going to see this. Obviously, I don't mean anything by it, but it's just kind of funny, and this is what's happening, rather than somebody having to tell Kraft, like, hey, take a look at this.
Right.
And he's like, now he's like, what? What is he doing? But anyway, so add that to the pile of stuff we got today. Patriot Storylines are brought to you by Cars for Kids. Now would be a great time to clean out your garage and donate that old car to Cars for Kids. See how easy it is. Call today, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, or online at carsforkids.com. We'll get into the Michael Bennett situation coming up. Michael Bennett, of course, not playing on Monday. It is a team suspension. So we'll do that in your call, 617-779-7937. This is NFL Sunday on WEEI.
Back to NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Bill, just on Michael Bennett, what happened with him that led to a suspension this week?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on any player's personal situation.
Bill, what do you see as a role for Michael Bennett going forward for the rest of the season?
Yeah, right now we're focused on the Jets. That's what we're working on.
Go ahead, Bill. Bill, when it comes to bringing aboard a veteran player who's had success in a certain system, and then you bring him to your system and maybe he's asked to do some different things, how difficult, in your experience, how difficult can that be sometimes for players?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You'd have to ask the player that. It varies probably from player to player.
Back here on NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance, Keith Fourier and Wiggy. Michael Bennett not playing tomorrow night. Team suspension. I love how Belichick won't talk about a personal situation, but also won't talk about the player either on the field. Doesn't want to talk about Michael Bennett at all. How do you guys think this is going to end up playing out?
He's always got a get out of jail free card. Really, with any question?
Oh yeah. Oh, he's got it ready, doesn't he?
I'm actually amazed by it. I know I've been around it for a long period of time, but it still never ceases to amaze me. So, how do I think this is going to play out? Well, I don't think it's going to play out very well. I don't think he's going to end up playing again. I think even when he comes back, if he does, okay. So the trade deadline is October 29th. Let's say he comes back before that. Well, he will be back next week. I don't think he's active. I don't even think he's active. Yeah. If he is on the roster, it would be just a matter of time before they ended up trading him. So, because even if he comes back, like, he's going to jump right back into the rotation. Like, hey, you serve your suspension. No, he has to earn it again. He has to show that he's going to cooperate, that he's going to be, I guess, not combative and, you know, and stay in his lane and, you know, do the right things and work hard and all that other stuff. Now he's got to show that. He's got to prove himself all over again before he even gets back into the rotation. So how do you think Michael Bennett's going to feel after he serves the suspension? Then he's not even active. Right. That would just make me more pissed.
That was the way it was trending anyway, whether or not he got suspended and got into a his term philosophical disagreement with his position coach, which, by the way, was a statement that he gave to a member of the media. So we would have had no details as to what happened with Bennett if it wasn't for Bennett, which I can only imagine makes the Patriots even more happy about it.
Yeah, this whole situation, I'm with Christian, it's you're Michael Bennett, you're the New England Patriots. It doesn't end well because your reps were already going down.
Each week he played less. Yeah.
So now what ends up happening is you become a guy, if they don't trade him or move on for him, you become a guy, is it even worth us to activate him and dress him when he's only going to give us, you know, 10 snaps a game? Or do we spread those snaps out between other players and see if we can activate another player that might be able to contribute on special teams?
And you guys had both, I mean, we talked about it a lot during the week, but you guys have obviously been not just in locker rooms, but in the position group meetings, and I'm sure have heard some arguments. I'm sure you've heard some disagreements. You got to really cross a line to get suspended, don't you?
I don't know this, but this is what I say, Christian, and I was saying it all week, and I felt like I don't think he should have got suspended. Personally.
We don't know what he did.
I understand that. Right. But I'm just guessing on, from being in that locker room, what might have taken place. If you want to send the guy home for the week and say, hey, listen, I'm going to send you home with pay, fine. But to take money out of his pocket when it probably, this is my guess, they were in the positional meeting, this had been boiling over, some words were said, and they probably both went at each other, both said some crazy stuff. Maybe there might have been even a little bit of pushing.
Brett Bielema was going to say a bunch of crazy stuff and be combative.
Yeah, we don't know. How could you take that leap?
I
think you need to look at it a different way. Do you think that Bill wants to fine anybody and take away a bunch of money from them?
No.
Okay, so it's a last resort. It's a last straw type of situation. So based on that, the guy must have did something completely inappropriate, completely anti-authority. I can only imagine. Take his personality.
Do you think – I don't know Brett Bielema, right? I don't know him. I never met the guy. Do you believe it was just a one-sided argument?
See, I heard what you said. You said Brett Bielema has bear some of the burden, basically.
Yeah, like, well, they're probably yelling and screaming at each other. They're
but
going
Brett
back
Bielema
and
couldn't suspend him if he wanted to.
No, but
that's all.
You
Belichick.
Don't think that they're yelling and screaming, going back and forth at each other?
There's a chance of that,
right?
But we don't. But I we have
Do you
no
think
idea
Brett
if that's
Bielema
true.
Was antagonizing Michael Bennett and trying to get him going?
No. I don't think – I didn't say he was antagonizing. If Michael Bennett started the situation and said to him, hey, who are you to tell me what I'm supposed to be doing? You're this, you're that, you know, and if they're using bad language, I don't think Brett Bielema just sat back there and go, Michael, please.
We don't know, though.
I'm just making
I give the benefit of the doubt to the coach. And especially to a D-line coach that really has what does he have to gain? He was a head coach.
I don't think
he's
has anything
a lot of
to
money.
Gain. But I think as an adult man, if another adult man is yelling at you and screaming at you, so if you're Brett Bielema or Michael Bennett's
all right,
yelling,
so if Brett Bielema is defending himself, yes. Even if it's verbally, then I still don't think he's at any fault. Well, if that's the case, I don't know. We don't know what it is. They could have fought each other for 10 minutes.
But
and
I didn't
beat the crap out of him. I have no idea.
But I didn't put the fault on Brett Bielema. I just said that Michael Bennett probably said some stuff, and his thing was it wasn't all right. Michael Bennett, go to the principal's office.
Or you think maybe Brett Bielema was like Dan Housley and was like, "Hey, Michael Bennett, what were you thinking?"
I don't know if it was that, but all
Bennett
I'm saying is if Bennett's yelling at him, I think Brett Bielema is probably yelling back at him and saying, listen, you're not going to talk to me this way. I'm the coach, whatever it may be.
I also wonder if there's a chance, and we're just left to speculate, but was it one really bad thing, or was it all of a sudden a trend of him maybe being late to meetings, him
that,
arguing,
see, I don't
him
know about
not paying
being
attention
late
in meetings.
To meetings, because we hadn't heard nothing about that.
True.
Don't you think that stuff
True.
Gets leaked
So maybe
out?
It was just one thing then.
I think that this was a situation that there might have been a little under the breath stuff, little smart remarks, building up over a time, and that's and then whenever this the point of snapping got to, that's.
But I think he's also probably snapping at the wrong guy, because I don't think Brett Bielema is in charge of Michael Bennett's playing time.
No,
and
no,
I think
no, no.
Bennett's playing time. No, but I think that's where the most frustration.
Yeah, but you're
is.
Taking your frustration out on the guy that's in front of you.
Yeah, no, yeah,
I mean
that's
kind of how it works
it
in a lot of stuff. Like
it does.
You're going back and forth, and granted, hey, listen, I might not be the unless Brett Bielema was one of those coaches, and Christian might have had coaches like this that go, listen, I don't agree with what Bill's doing with you when it comes to your playing time. I think you should be playing more, but at the end of the day, it's not my decision.
Right.
All you can do is go out there, and when you do get your opportunities, take advantage of it. Unless Brett Bielema is like that, then maybe you don't go off on the position coach. But if your position coach is kind of, you know, maybe you and him don't see eye to eye, then the blow up comes.
I just think because again, the other detail he gave Michael Bennett when he talked to Jordan Schultz was that it was on Friday is when he had the philosophical disagreement with his position coach, which led to his suspension. And then he apologized to his teammates for any distraction it may have caused. So my guess is, it became a big thing that was in front of a lot of teammates as well.
Yeah.
That's the only way it could be. If you have a one-on-one meeting with somebody and you blow up,
probably
at them, you're not distracting anybody.
It probably happened in
right,
the position
right.
meeting.
But he also says Friday, which I think is not a coincidence that the day after he plays 11 snaps, he shows up the next day and is like, I've had enough.
Well, they're probably watching film.
Yeah.
And maybe Brett Bielema's going, Michael, in this situation, you can't do this. And
this is why you're playing 11 plays.
Maybe that.
Right.
If this is why. Or even if he doesn't say that, hey, you got to make
Call
sure you
out,
control this gap.
And
Bennett goes, what the hell? I play 11 snaps. How am I supposed to get in any type of rhythm?
Yeah, right.
Whatever. You know what I mean?
Do you think there's any way to trade him, or is it just ultimately going to be a cut?
No, you could trade him. I think you could get
some. You're not cutting him. I mean,
why?
Well,
if he's already
all that money?
Yeah, he's already been a pill week, so we keep suspending him. I'm sure that'll go over well with him.
I would say, like, since you don't necessarily need the roster spot, I think cutting him is just not going to happen. He's not going to get cut. You're just wasting more money. I would say they would almost try to rehabilitate him.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's one option if you feel like that is possible.
Two options.
Because you save a little bit of money. You save more money in a trade. You save a little bit of money by cutting him. But it could be one of those things where if he's a distraction to his teammates and he's getting into philosophical disagreements with his position coach 6 weeks into the season, I don't know why it would be better 10 weeks into the season.
Well, I guess there's a shelf life to all these situations.
Right.
So if he becomes so demonstrative and just so distractive, fine. It's better for us just to get rid of this guy because he's only getting worse. He's going to start infecting every last person.
And see, I don't think it gets better, though, because they might have just made him inactive for this week. Even if it's a philosophical difference, maybe you're inactive. Hey, we're not going to suspend you.
Yeah, that's a message still. That's a big-time message.
When
you're
suspend
inactive.
Somebody, that means you're taking money out of his pocket.
Yeah, so that's why you have to. I would say this, to me, was really easy to kind of get my arms around based on the fact that I think Bill's an advocate for the players. I think he's a player-first coach, regardless of what people from the outside think. I think he cares about his players. He wants them the best for him. He's honest and direct, and you may not like some of his decisions, but that's part of being in business, regardless of whether it's football or not. So for him to lay down such a huge fine, to me is, listen, sending a shot across your bow.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you every last chance, and you're leaving me no choice. I don't believe that he wants to sit there and fine this guy over $270,000.
Yeah, but I still believe I think Bill picks and chooses those players, what those players mean to him.
I think he looks at it. You think that he has plays favorites with fine people?
No, not playing favorites with fine people, but I think if he likes a player more then he likes another player.
At least when he was on the
Wait, hold on. I want to hear this out. Finish this up. So if he likes a player more.
Yeah, you don't think Bill looks at certain plays and goes, you know what? I like this guy. I like what he does, his personality, works auto. And then there are players that maybe he looks at and goes, ah, this guy's attitude. I don't really like the way he goes about things. Look at Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler, in my opinion, is a perfect example. I don't know if Bill really liked him as a player to the sense where when he had the opportunity, he missed some things, he would be like, all right, I got no problem with suspending him or sending him home, where there are other players that he likes a little bit better. I mean, yeah, I think that's all in coaching all around.
That's fine because everybody's personality. You're not gonna you're not gonna hit on every. Okay, that's I think that's I think that's understood.
Right.
But what we're talking about here is whether you like a guy or dislike a guy. So if Teddy Bruschi decided, you know what, I don't want to be, you know, team Patriot. I just want to, you know, I want to do my own thing.
Yeah.
And started acting like an ass clown.
Mm-hmm.
And he got warnings and he got, you know, warnings again. He was reactive and he kept doing it. Do you don't think that
I think that guy would be fine, but that would go back to my point. If he continues to act like an ass clown, Bill does not like that guy. That the like for that player every single week is going to get less and less and less.
Yeah, but it's still I still don't think that then that's the player's fault, but it's cuz if you're just a jerk and if you're loud and you're boisterous or say you cheat at cards or you know you don't run as hard as you should, you're kind of lazy. Those are things that, you know, some guys do. And, you know, I hate when players do that, but that's not going to make me more willing to fine him or look for an excuse to fine him if he acts like Bennett did. I just feel like they're totally separate. And, even the nicest guy can have, like, a meltdown. And you would say, well, you know, his personality, he's never done anything like this before. But, okay, let's give him a warning.
Okay.
Okay, right. The next time it happens, dude, listen, I love you, but you're leaving me no choice. That's kind of the way I think that it went down with him. Hey, listen, I like you. You know, I think you're a good player. I don't want to throw the book at you, but, dude, like, what are you doing?
Well,
like, I can't defend you.
One of the guys that Belichick definitely loves is Julian Edelman, and he had some interesting comments about Rob Gronkowski when he was on the Greg Hill Show earlier this week, so we'll get into what he had to say. This is NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
You're listening to NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm going to start with Gronk. We had Gronk in the studio this week, and he said that he's not coming back. Do you believe him?
You know, I don't know. If he does, hey, that's awesome. We need it. But, you know, you're not really worried about that. You're worried about the Jets and who you're playing, your opponent this week. And, you know, that's just how it goes.
Julian Edelman on the Greg Hill Show earlier this week. Are you guys surprised at all that he said, yeah, if he comes back, we need it? Kind of pointing out the fact that the offense could use some help. I don't think that's normally what you – I thought – I was waiting for the more Patriot answer of, you know, hey, whatever Gronk does, and that's great. But, you know, we got a job. And he sort of morphed into the, hey, Jets, we got Jets. It's Jets week. We got Jets on Monday.
I think it was
to say
a
that
slip
we
up.
Need it?
I think it was a slip up because I was on and – and I mean, it was like, yeah, you know, if he comes back, oh, he's Gronk. We need it.
But we need it.
But we need it.
And it's true.
Yeah, I do think there's something there to that because I think everyone's kind of understands that they do need some more help. I don't think it was – was it a Freudian slip? I mean, like, is that what we're calling it? Fine, whatever. But they need the help. They need good players.
They definitely do.
Right.
It's amazing, though. You go back a couple of weeks ago when Tom Brady, they were begging him to say something nice about Izzo and Lacoste, and he wouldn't do it. And now you have Edelman being like, yeah, we need it. Like, these tight ends can't catch a break. Doesn't matter who's out there. Everybody on the team knows that they're not good enough, and they need somebody else. They need Gronk. Even though Gronk is, you saw him, Wiggy, what is he, like 150 pounds now?
No, he's still a big man.
He's tall. He's thin.
But he doesn't need to. He probably is 245. 250.
I don't know.
No, he's not. Yeah, I'm 240.
So. Yeah, he's about two. He's not less than you.
I bet he's like
2. Like,
I'm 240. I know for, and I'm skinny right now, and he's 2 inches taller than me.
Yeah, he's not. He's no way. He's
less at least 255.
Okay. All right.
Oh, you guys think I think is
yeah.
Which I think is more than adequate.
Right.
I mean,
okay. All right. So you and I, Christian, agree.
Oh, okay.
I think he's like 245, 250.
He looks like a basketball player.
250.
Or something
he might
right
be
now.
In the 255 range, but
you
yeah, that's
so?
Where he is.
All right.
He's no, I mean, like, people think that he's like 210.
I feel like he might be a stiff breeze might knock him over out there. No?
I'm with Christian. He's between 245 and 255.
All right, but I did think that was interesting for Edelman to kind of go there because usually they're so good at. I mean, the obvious answer is yeah, of course we need him. Like yeah, we need it. We need
but
him to come back.
You can't really say that. Like
no, but they don't. They never say it. And so I think Edelman got kind of off his spot there a little bit. I never know what he's doing during those interviews.
Yeah,
I know for you. Yeah, you guys have talked to him once when he was getting a massage. Like I don't know what he's up to. But
the cell phone service is not very good.
No, horrible.
He's not really vested in the interview. No. Always my opinion.
He's just like there.
He's not super.
So many other things he'd rather be doing than talking. And I always feel like his eyes are, you know, squinting and he's looking at himself in the rearview mirror as he's driving. I'm so sexy. How can I give my really hard look tonight? Show like I'm really focused, but yet not caring that I'm focused.
So he's like Zoolander.
Yeah, he's total NFL version of Zoolander.
He's got a lot of Zoolander going.
He's Derek like Zoolander.
Yeah. I would think that he would care a little bit more about it, like the interview, just because. I'm not saying all players should, but he's a guy that he's trying to do like the YouTube stuff. He's like trying to do the videos.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just so beneath him. I don't know. I feel like you can get your personality across, you know, calling into the morning show once a week. That might be kind of
excellent point, Keith, because, you know, he obviously has a personality. Are you telling me he's so restricted or fearful of what's going to happen that he refuses to, I guess. So he'll laugh at himself when he does Between Two Stupid Ferns.
Right.
Okay, he'll do this documentary, do all this stuff.
Burger Time. I love Burger Time.
Gets on the radio.
Right.
And it's like,
Shuts down.
Yeah, you guys aren't, you know, I got to be a big enemy. Why can't you have a personality, your personality?
I don't get it.
And still do your job.
Well, I think
he should be one of the great player interviews on a weekly basis,
but
he's not.
I think that the difference is when he does, when you talk about Between Two Ferns, that's what Zach Galifianakis, right? Like that.
That's the name you get right. Unbelievable. Well, the hardest one. The hardest one. That's the one you get right.
Smooth, no problem.
Right, it just comes out smooth. So I feel like he looks at those Hollywood things. The Burger Time is his thing.
Yeah.
Those interviews are his thing. Where this here, I feel like he looks at the radio interview. I don't really need this.
Oh, I know he doesn't. And you know what? Brand. He's probably right. He's going to do just fine after football or whatever. But I'm just saying, you would think that that could be like another opportunity for people to like really be like, yes, Edelman's on 10 minutes where he's going to make us laugh, us think, and make us cry.
But you
got to do it all.
You got to understand this. And it's one thing to go to sit and answer questions about, you know, Deflategate or Spagate in a funny way with Jimmy Kimmel than it is to do it with Greg Hill or OMF.
Why
is it different? I don't get it.
Greg Hill's a great spot to get your personality across.
It is, but in their minds, I think they look at,
I think he goes about it wrong.
I agree with you.
And
I think
they
look at it like this is kind of, you know.
And now that
we
actually got something for the first time out of Edelman this week, and we are talking about it. I know NBC Sports Boston, when I was on the other night, they were talking about it. That line that he had about Gronk, he is going to be even more in a shell going forward.
Right.
He's not going to say, next week's going to be awful. The phone, he's going to be in a convertible driving down the street.
Oh, yeah.
Not going to be able to hear a word he's saying. And he's going to be like, hey, we got the Browns. Browns are coming up. We got the Browns.
I can just see him. He's sitting right next to Tom on the bus. Hey, man, they're after me too, man.
Yeah, right.
I tell you what, we're the same. I don't know what to do. This media, they're trying to get us and trying to break us apart. We can't let them do it.
Don't you feel like that's how players.
Tom's like, yeah, sure. All right,
like local media is that we don't really need this type of, I'd rather show my personality on Between Two Ferns.